mess. Annalene threw her daughter a rag. Clean up. I need you to work the till. Do I have to? Callie glared at her mother. You have something better to do? I'm mucking out the dewback pen. The girl peered in at Ulbrich, who was now nattering away to the hapless Rodian. So the answer is yes. Sorry, sweetie. Annalene stepped out from behind the door. Her hair was pulled back in a bun, and she was wearing her light cloak and hood. I need to run to Arndt Fout to see a man about some Dricklefruit. Dricklefruit my eye? I know where you're going. Stepping behind the counter, the girl watched her mother pick up the tub of goods. You're the one that said nothing good ever comes from the Jundland wastes. Hush, Annalene said, already to the exit. I'll be back before lunch. Callie's voice went up two octaves. Tell Ben I said hello. The whir of a land speeder sounded outside, and Ulbrich reappeared at the counter before Callie, continuing his winding tale. He didn't even seem to notice that he'd switched Cowwells. Chapter 13. If not for the sound, she would have driven past it. White on white under the climbing suns, the squarish hut with its poor stone dome neatly blended with the Jundland wastes. Only when Annalene banked the X-31 along the desert floor did she see the glint from the vaporator out back. The hut squatted low on a southwestern bluff. Likely, she figured, situated over a cave. Another last-ditch lodge. The term was fully pejorative, referring to frontier dwellings built on the theory, never proven, that the uplands of the wastes yielded more condensation at night. No one knew for sure, because even the hardiest farmers seldom lasted more than a season. These were places for grubbers on their last chance, and would-be wizards who just knew they had magical combinations of vaporator settings no one had ever thought of before. The whole thing was ludicrous to Annalene. Assuming anyone hit it lucky, what investor in his right mind would build an industrial farm out here? Crazy. She wasn't crazy, though, to pick this direction. Annalene had seen Ben head out from the oasis days earlier, and Orin had reported meeting him out this way. After the past airless week, a hint of a trail still existed. Now she spotted Ben's Yopi quivering out front, less worried about her approach than the noise from out back. Annalene parked the speeder and reached into the rumble seat. That had been an invention of Danar's, ripping out the back of the middle console to make room for the younglings, or in this case, Ben's tub of supplies. Realizing what the sound was, she suppressed a laugh as she walked the goods up the hill. All right, Ben called out from behind the house. I take your meaning. You're upset. You can stop now. A mountain of hair, easily his match for height, backed up and charged again, horns first, into the side of Ben's hut. Annalene propped the tub on her hip and watched with a barely concealed smile. Having a problem with your bantha? No, no. Why do you ask? Ben gripped a rope and tried to get the calf's attention. He'd been at this a while, Annalene saw. His blousy white shirt was dingy, and sweat dripped from dark blonde hair exposed to the sky. The animal snorted angrily and returned to its mission. She pointed to the rope. What are you planning to do with that? I'm considering hanging myself. He looked up at her, exasperated. I don't know what I did to set it off. Normally, I'm good with animals. Well, as you saw with Callie the other day, they're still animals, she said, setting down the tub. Forget the rope. Let me have a try. He gestured indifferently. Be my guest. Annalene removed her gloves and strolled toward the massive creature. Raising animals isn't like raising teenagers. Kids don't know what they want, and they want it now. Animals, on the other hand, usually do know what they want. Like this guy, she said, edging toward the bantha calf. He thinks your house is his mother. His mother? Yep. Feeling the steaming breath of the wild behemoth, Annalene reached out gently and touched the calf's face. The bantha stamped its feet impatiently. Mama's probably wandered farther up into the wastes. He can't find her. If you had this much hair over your face, you might lose your way too. To a bantha calf, everything that's bigger than food is probably mom. A good rule of thumb. Ben crossed his arms and watched with concern as Annalene inserted herself fully between the animal and the battered wall. What do I do? Shh. Annalene traced the calf's eye sockets with her fingers. Leaning forward, she nuzzled its face. The bantha's hooves stilled. The woman whispered to Ben, "You are going to watch me point him somewhere else." Ben stood back as Annalene strode forward, pushing the young bantha by the horns. It outweighed her by a metric ton at least, and yet it was backing down the hill. At the foot of the bluff, she turned it to one side and gave it a swat. Long, shaggy hair swaying, it moseyed off. "Won't he die out there?" "Nah." Annalene pulled a handkerchief from inside her boot and rubbed her hands. "He won't be alone that long. If he doesn't find his herd, he'll find a Tuscan to adopt," she said. Ben nodded. "My house thanks you. I did try, well, to calm it." "It's all right. You were probably its first human." Annalene caught a trace of a smile before the man turned and started back up the hill to his house. Ben's expressions in the store had been happier, she thought. Here, he seemed a little downcast. "It must be depressing, living alone so far out here." He looked back at her. "Why are you here, Annalene?"
"Special delivery."
Walking with him, she pointed to the tub of goods. "Most of our thieves take things without paying. You're the only person I've met who paid and left his stuff."
"I'm a very poor thief, then."
Ben moved the bin into the dubious shade of the vaporator. He scratched his head. "I'm sorry for the trouble of the other day."